glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Now here's the second part of a breakthrough prayer. I tell God, I can't do this. I need you to do this. That's the second thing you do when you pray a breakthrough prayer. You tell God, I can't do this. It's impossible for me. I'm powerless. It's hopeless. I'm helpless. I can't do this. I need you to do this. This is what makes breakthrough prayers different than other prayers. When you say, God, I need your help, that means you still think you can do it. And that's okay. A lot of times you say, Lord, I need your strength today. Lord, I need your help today. Lord, I need your wisdom today. That's a normal prayer. In a breakthrough prayer, you go, God, I can't even possibly do this because it's beyond my control. I need you to do this. I need you to do this. It's when you feel powerless. Have you ever felt powerless? Let me ask it another way. Have you ever held a screaming baby and tried to get it to be quiet and it wouldn't? A little tiny baby can control you and wrap you around its fingers because you go, I'm an adult. I'm going crazy if this child doesn't stop screaming. And no matter what you do, that baby won't stop screaming. That's a feeling of powerlessness. And when you feel that way, you need to pray a breakthrough prayer. Now, you tell God, I can't do this. It's beyond my ability. I need you to do this. By the way, do you know what this is? It's the first step of Celebrate Recovery. That's the first. Let me read you the first step of Celebrate Recovery. I realize I'm not God. I admit I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong things, and my life is unmanageable. That's the first step of Celebrate Recovery. It's the second step of a breakthrough prayer. God, I'm powerless. I can't do it. Notice verse 12. Here's the second thing he prays. After he says, God, you're great, you're powerful, he says, we are powerless. We're powerless against this mighty army that is coming to attack us. And we don't know what to do. But we're looking to you for help. Now, this is very important. Look at that passage again. You should do this exact same thing when you're praying for a breakthrough in your life. First, you tell God exactly how you feel. God, I feel powerless. I have tried and tried and tried and tried and tried, and I can't control this. I can't manage this. I can't manipulate this. I can't change this. I've been batting my head against the wall for weeks, months, or years, or decades, and it's not changing. That's when you need a breakthrough prayer. We're powerless. You tell God, it feels hopeless. And you admit your inability. It's beyond my control. And you admit, even he said, we're powerless, but he says, we don't know what to do. He says, even if we did have the power, we don't even know what to do. I don't know what to do in this situation. You ever been in those kind of situations? A lot. You've been in them a lot. Where you go, I don't even have the slightest idea what to do. This net, this mess, this knot is so tangled, and it's out of my control. I don't know what to do. Well, you do this. God, I'm powerless. I don't know what to do, but I'm looking at you. I'm focusing on you. I'm turning to you. God, I can't do this. It's not like I need your help. I can't do it even with your help. I need you to do this. You have a family member or loved one who's dying. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about that. If anything is going to be done, it has to be done by somebody greater than you. If your company moves overseas, you're going to lose your job. There's nothing you can do about it. Most of the big things in your life, there's nothing you can do about. That's why you need to learn the breakthrough prayer. Now, did you notice that in that verse 12, it says, we're powerless? But six verses earlier, when he started the prayer, he said, you're all powerful. I don't have to be powerful if I'm connected to God because he's all powerful. I don't have to be all-knowing if I'm connected to God because he's all-knowing. I don't have to be in every place if I'm connected to God because he's in every place. And so what do you do when you're in a situation that you cannot control, you cannot change, and you cannot manage? What do you do in that kind of situation? You wait and you trust. You wait and you trust. Sometimes faith, it means doing nothing. You just stand still, you just stand there, you wait, and you trust. You trying to do something puts it back in your court. Sometimes there's something so big in your life, you can't do anything about it. And you keep saying, you know, if I just figure this out, I'll just work it out. Things will work out great. And you just get more and more tired. Sometimes faith means doing nothing. Sometimes faith means just standing there and waiting while the enemy is headed straight at you. You just wait. Look at the next verse, verse 13. Then all the men of Judah stood before the Lord. This means they literally, all the people, the guys in the nation, they stood up before God. Doesn't mean 5 minutes. They might have stood before the Lord for hours. What are they doing? Simply by standing there saying, God, we're looking to you. This thing's too big for us. We're going to have a national crisis. We're going under for the last time. We're at the end of our rope, but we're hanging on. We just stand before the Lord. We're going to wait, watch, and trust. It says, then all the men of Judah stood before the Lord, waiting with their wives and their young children and even their babies. So the whole family can get involved in your breakthrough. And if you're a parent and you're praying for something during these 34 days, a big thing, you need to tell your kids. You need to get everybody praying about it at the dinner table. Husbands and wives, your spouse. Tell your spouse the breakthrough prayer you're praying. Get your kids involved in praying this. And you just say, we're going to stand before the Lord. We can't change this, but God, you can. And it is our faith in you that's going to make the difference. Now, here's the third part of praying a breakthrough. After you have told God, focused on him, his greatness and all that, and you've told God you can't do it, you need him to do it, here's the third thing. Listen for what God says. Listen to what God says. And that's why I told you in prayer, prayer is a conversation. It's not a monologue. Prayer is not you doing all the talking. You mean, wait a minute, in those 5 minutes, I don't have to be talking the whole time? No. A person who talks all the time, that's not a conversation. That's a monologue. You want to have a conversation with God. You can't build a friendship if they never get to talk. You're not spending the whole time talking to God. You're spending some time letting God talk to you. How? Through this book. Through reading this book. This book is filled with what God wants to say to you. Everything God wants to say to you, he's already put it right here. People are always looking for some sign. I wish God would tell me what he wants to do. I wish he would write it in the sky. God is not going to write it in the sky. He's already written it in a book. And you won't read this. Why in the world do you think you're going to look up at the sky? Stop looking for a sign and start looking for a scripture. Stop looking for a vision and start looking for a verse. God's will is in God's word. And the more you read this book, the more you're going to know what to do. Now, I want you to listen to what God said to these guys. Because they're all praying, Lord, the enemy's coming. We don't know what to do. We don't have the power. We're going to die. This is a crisis, and it's uncontrollable. Verses 15 to 18 is packed with encouragement for you. And God would say the same thing to you in his word if you would just read it. Here's what the Bible says, verses 15 to 18. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, the one that's coming to attack you. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Whoa, we'll come back to that. The battle's not yours, but God. He says, you won't need to fight in this battle, strange battle. Just take up your position and stand strong. Then just wait and watch, and you will see the Lord deliver you. You're not going to deliver yourself. This is a breakthrough prayer. I'm going to deliver you. And again, don't be afraid or get discouraged. He says, listen, get the message. Don't be worried. Don't be afraid or discouraged, because the Lord is with you. And after they had listened to what God had said to them, it says, then the king and everybody else bowed down on the ground, and they worshiped God. Imagine the scene, an entire nation getting on the ground, bowing down on their knees, and worshiping God. Because God said, I'm going to take care of it. Now, this is an amazing thing. When you pray the way these people prayed, Jehoshaphat the king and everybody else, you're going to get God saying the same thing to you. So let's write these things down. God says four things to you when you pray a breakthrough prayer. He says these same things to you. Number one, the first thing God says to you is this, relax. Don't be afraid or discouraged. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. You can chill out. You can relax. He says, it's not a problem with me. I'm bigger than that army. That's the first thing God says to you when you have a problem that you can't control. Relax. Don't be afraid or discouraged. Second thing God says, and he's going to say it to you too, it's my battle and I'll handle it. It's my battle and I will handle it. Verse 15, the battle is not yours, but God's. You guys, you want to know why you're tired all the time? Why you're frustrated? Why you're fatigued? Why you're worn out by life? The reason you're so tired is you're trying to fight battles that belong to God, and you're not God. The battle is not yours, it's God. That problem out there you think's your problem, God says, you're my child. Fathers take care of their children. It's my battle. It's my battle. The battle is not yours, but God's. You see, what happens in life, because we're particularly in America, we're very independent. And so what happens is when we see a problem, we think, if it's to be, it's up to me. I got to figure it out. I got to plan it all. And what we start doing is we assume God's role. God says, the battle's not yours, it's mine. And he said, I can solve this mess. And so you try one thing and it doesn't work. You try something else, it doesn't work. You try another thing, it doesn't work. And you've been batting your head trying to solve this problem in your marriage, trying to solve this problem in your body, in the economy, in the world, in the nation, at school. And you're trying to solve it on your own power. You're trying to fight the battle on your own, and you're getting tired. And finally, you just give up, and you come back to God, and you say, Lord, I've made a mess of this. And you say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I've really let you down. Now, you may have never actually prayed that, but you thought it. I'm a big disappointment to God because I really tried on this. I tried to solve this problem. And God, I've messed up. I've made a mess of it. I'm so sorry, God, I've let you down. And God says, nope, you didn't let me down because you weren't holding me up. You don't hold God up. He holds you up. You don't have God in your hands. He's got you in his hands. If you got God in your hands, it's not God. If it's an idol, if you think you can control God, it's not God. It may be a lucky charm, a talisman. It may be a rabbit's foot or a good luck horseshoe or some little thing you think is going to give you special power, that's going to give you special energy, and you keep it in your pocket or on your wrist or whatever, and you think that's going to help. If you can control it, it's not God. You're not letting God down because you're not holding him up. Get this through your mind as your friend and pastor. God is not disappointed in you. Because he's not expecting you to do what only he can do. You don't hold God up. He holds you up. A couple weeks ago, I went to India. And Sunday I got there and I spoke to 110,000 people. And then the next several days, I did a pastor's conference for 12,000 pastors from all over India. And on the last day, we had a stadium rally and I spoke to, 50, 60,000 people. And when I left LAX... I got on the plane. Can you imagine how stupid this would look? Is that we're on the tarmac, we start going down the runway, and as the jet starts picking up steam, I'm in a 747. It's a 16-hour flight to Dubai, and then another 5 hours to Hyderabad. And as that plane goes down the runway, would it be stupid if I start doing this? And as the speed picks up, I'm start doing it faster and faster and faster. And as the nose guides in the air, I'm going really, really fast, really, really fast. And the steward comes back, the flight attendant comes back and says, Mr. Warren, what are you doing? Oh, I'm helping us get off the ground. Mr. Warren, it has enough power on its own. It doesn't need your help. Oh, no, it might crash if I don't do this. 3 hours into the flight, I'm going... And the flight attendant goes, Mr. Warren, you really don't have to do this. The battle is not yours. It's God's. Okay, you get the point. You get the point. You're not holding the plane up. You're not holding God up. Let me ask you a very personal question. Are your arms getting tired of flapping? In what area of your life have you been flapping for months and maybe even years? In my marriage, trying to make it work. In my job, trying to make it work. In my health, trying to make it work. And you're just flapping and flapping and flapping and flapping. And you right now, you're on the verge of just saying, God, I give up. And God says, great, now we can get something done. I've been waiting for you to realize you're not holding me up. Great, give up. And as your friend today, I'm telling you, give up. The battle is not yours. It's God. Now, once you give up, God says, now I can get something done. So God says four things to these people, and he says the same things to you. Relax. It's my battle. I'll handle it. Here's the third thing he says. Keep serving in your position. Keep serving in your position. The next line in that verse says, just take up your position and stand strong. Here's the enemy coming against them. He doesn't say, go home and light a fire and watch TV. He also says, doesn't say, go fight them. He says, get in your position and stand there. That takes an enormous amount of faith. Now, I don't have time to get into this, but God has a position for everyone in the family of God. He has a ministry for you to do, a service for you to perform. A non-serving Christian is a contradiction. God has a niche, a niche for you. And it's based on your shape, S-H-A-P-E, spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, experiences. We got a whole class that helps you discover what's my place in the body of Christ. What's my place in the world? What's God's purpose for my life? And I wrote those classes years ago, class 101, 201, 301, and 401, talking about different parts of your position. And if you haven't taken those, you need to take them. We offer them every month in every campus. And take 101, then 201, 301, where you learn your shape, and 401, you learn your mission in life. He says, you've got a position. Just stand strong. And then that's the fourth thing he says, is watch, wait and watch what God does. That big problem in your life? It's my battle. Stand firm. Stay in your position. Wait and watch what God does. Now, this is the strangest battle in history. And at verse 17, here's what he says. Now, you're not going to need to fight in this battle. Would you agree? That's a pretty unusual battle. So you don't need to fight in this one. Just take up your position and stand strong. Then just wait and watch, and you will see the Lord deliver you. You're not going to deliver yourself. Again, don't be afraid or discouraged, second time, because the Lord is with you. And then the king and everybody else all bowed down on the ground and worshiped God. That passage I just read, in three words, here's what God says to them. I got this. I got this, okay? It's not your problem. I got this. I will handle this. By the way, that verse there, verse 17, 2 Chronicles 20, is the middle verse of the Old Testament. Some of you, that's the only thing you're going to get. Little trivia, you write it down. Middle verse of the Old Testament. But he says, in this battle, you don't need to fight, you don't need to move, and you don't need to worry. You get that? He says, verse, you don't need to fight in this battle. You can resign as general manager of the universe, and it's not going to fall apart. You're not Atlas holding everything up. God's holding you up. You don't need to fight. He says, you don't even need to move. He says, stand strong. You don't have to manipulate God. You don't have to help God. Just let God be God. He says, stand strong. You don't have to move. Now listen, this is for somebody here. Some of you are thinking, if I could just move, all my problems would be different. If I could just move away. If I could just go to Tahiti, then I would not have any stress. You know what the problem with that is? When you go to Tahiti, you take you. And where is the stress? It's not in the air. It's between your ears. So you're taking your stress to Tahiti. Some of you think, life sucks. I need to move. Well, maybe not. Maybe you're exactly where you need to be, and you need to be at church every week hearing this kind of teaching so you know how to handle stress instead of being out there on their own and doing it in the wrong way. I know guys who've turned down promotions because he wanted their kids, his kids, to grow up in this church. Lots of families have done that. Because it said, you don't need to move. You don't need to manipulate. You don't need to help God. You don't need to move. It's an attitude of quiet confidence. I want you to write this down. It is never God's will for me to run from a difficult situation. Did you write that down? It is never, 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 never God's will for me to run from a difficult situation. Because if you run, you're going to face it again somewhere else. No, God says, stand still. Don't move. Just wait. Be quiet. Stand strong. If you run from a difficulty, You run from a difficult marriage, you tend to fall into another marriage and you're going to have difficulty there. God wants to teach you that he's sufficient in everything. So he says, you don't need to fight, you don't need to move, you don't even need to worry. Twice, God says, don't be afraid. Why does God say that? Why do I not have to worry in the breakthrough prayer? Well, here's the question. Has God ever lost a battle in all of history? No. We lose battles. God has never lost a battle that he fought. So you can't lose. If God's fighting the battle for you, you can't lose. You're going to win. Now, what do I stand firm? He says, just stand strong, stand firm. How do I stand strong?